Hi, welcome to Lights, Camera, Author. I'm Jim Juno, and this is the show where we talk with people who write author who are authors who write books about classic Hollywood and entertainment. And I have with me tonight I think it's going to be a real fun interview. His name is Richard J. Schmelter, and he has a new book out. It's published by Bear Manor Media, and it's called Beast, Bedlam, and Babes. And if you grew up during the 50s or 60s, like I did, in the 70s, there were things known as drive-in theaters, and they're still around to an extent. But Richard has written a book, compiled a book, which has all these great movies that appeared at drive-in theaters. So, Rich, welcome to Lights, Camera, Author.
Jim, thank you so much for having me. I look so forward to being on your show.
I
This is
tell
my
you.
element. This is my element. I love this.
I tell you what, when I was reading this book, I was going, I've seen this one. I've seen this one. I've seen this one. And you start in the 50s and you go up to the 80s. And excuse me, I'm battling allergies tonight, everybody, so bear with me, okay? But on the cover of the book, I'm gonna describe the cover because Screaming Skull, I've seen. Pom Pom Girls, I've seen. Wasp Woman, I've seen. Brain That Wouldn't Die, I've seen. Fall, of course, Plan 9 from Outer Space. And then there's one called The Astounding She Monster, which I'm going to watch tonight, I think. So, but this looks like a fun book that you had. You really nailed down the movies that were appearing at the drive-in during the 50s and 60s, 70s, even the early 80s, Rich.
Jim, thank you so much. I when I first started to compile this, I wound up with like 600 movies. Yes, that is true, folks. There are more than just the 125 that I have in this book. But I figured unless I can clone myself four times over, which I can't do, I had to limit it to down to 125. But there are more volumes coming out after this. Actually, Bear Manor wants another volume soon, so I'm already working on that. And the way that I approached this project was, the later 50s was when the American people were starting to stay home because they had so much TV to watch. So then that left the teenagers who couldn't be alone with each other. Well, they had the advent of the car, of course, and the teenagers were able to drive. And Hollywood jumped on this. They started to make these movies dedicated to the teenagers with a lot of juvenile delinquency. And I was a teenage werewolf. Everything was geared toward teenagers at that time. So you were able to go to the drive-in, be alone with your girlfriend, and go into what they would call the four-wheel passion pit, in the cars. Now, sometimes people did watch these movies, but in time, when they dropped the production code back in the 19 later 60s, they started to come up with the R rating. And then that's when Hollywood really started to come out with a lot of the nudity involved, and they pushed the limit on that. And then you started to have the slasher movies, which they pushed the limit on that starting in the 70s and into the 80s, early 80s. And the reason why that I stopped the book in 1982 was at the advent of the VHS tapes and all, people were starting to go back and reverting back to staying home 20 some years after everybody was wanted, after the teenagers wanted to leave home to go see movies, they were back home watching these movies again. So I figured that was the golden age of the drive-in, at least in my opinion. Now, some people might say other time periods and all, but it's just like anything. It's just like sports, movies. People are going to have their certain time and they'll argue about what's good or bad. But I honestly think the late 50s to the early 80s was the glory days of the drive-in theaters, and they were everywhere. And these movies, these great movies, as I like to call them, celluloid dumpster fires, but they're classics, they're gems. And when I wrote the book, I didn't want to get into, like, with the Astounding She Monster, for example. And a good friend of mine, Karen, by the way, Karen and her husband, Brad, I told them about this because Brad likes these kind of movies. Well, they watched the movie. Karen came in the next day at work going, "Really, Rich? Really?" It was kind of funny. So it's kind of a standing joke. I had to show her the cover of the book. But anyways, Karen, you're still great. But with these movies like The Astounding She Monster, I didn't start to say, okay, and the lighting was this way, and the lighting was this way. We're not dealing with Citizen Kane, Gone with the Wind, The Godfather. We're dealing with movies that were made to have people have fun. And what was more fun than going to a drive-in, getting concessions, watching the little hot dogs jump into the buns, and at the half at the let's go out to the lobby type thing. And It was just, it's all about fun. So I took it and made it campy, a lot of satire, and I just had a great time. And I do not say how the movies end. I always come up with like, hey, did this happen? Did this happen? Will this happen? And I want the people to go out and see these movies, because the one thing I cannot stand when you see somebody that does a guide, and again, nothing against people that do this, that's your own preference as a writer. But if I'm reading something and then you say, oh, well, so and so died at the end, you're like, well, why am I going to watch this movie? You're watching this whole movie all the way through. And then, like, if you watch, did you ever see Angels with Dirty Faces
Yes,
with
uh-huh.
James? Okay. And you know how it ends, right? I mean, if you watch so if somebody goes through and they say about what happens to him at the end, you're like, well, why am I going to watch this? You want to hope that maybe he's going to get out of this or something like this. So that's why I was a real stickler about that, where it's like, don't say how they end, just kind of let it hang out there. And it was all 100% humor, 100% humor in this book. And I even told the pub, oh, I'm sorry,
No, go
go ahead.
ahead. No, you go
I
ahead.
told the publisher, I said, if you're looking in, because they deal with all the the Hollywood books and the entertainment, old radio, old television. I said, if you're looking for something to be, again, like I said, the lighting and the director and this and that, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get, I mean, it's like, this is all humor. You're dealing with, the Playboy magazine school of acting. A lot of the girls were in these movies. And it was just so much fun to do. This is my ninth book that I wrote, and this is probably the most fun that I had.
They made, and that's what I loved. And you, what happens when I was reading the book, and I kind of knew this in the back of my mind, was that the same, some of the same people show up, and some of the same production companies especially show up. One that came to mind right away was American International Pictures. I mean, back in the 50s, they had people like Roger Corman and Burt I. Gordon, who just passed away last year. Samuel Z. Arkoff. I mean, and they churned out these movies like I want to say I Was a Teenage Werewolf was
Yes.
one of them, and I'm trying to I don't want to
I was a
say
teenage Frankenstein.
I was a teenage Frankenstein. I was a teenage monster du jour of the day. I mean
Yes,
that.
yes.
I mean, and it was all it, like Michael Landon was in the was I Was a Teenage Werewolf. Was the Blob an American International Picture?
I believe it was. I don't want to be misquoted. I did write about that book, but I do not know if that was an AIP or not.
With Steve McQueen.
Steve McQueen, yes.
And
And the lady that was Andy Griffith's girlfriend on the Andy Griffith Show.
Anita Cassatt.
I'm
Yes.
from. Ellen Crump, yeah, she was in there.
Yes. And but American International really made a habit. I mean, make them fast, make them cheap. And it worked like a charm, didn't it?
Oh, it did. It was, they would pump these things out. And if you notice, a lot of these movies were made in the same house. Like if a movie took place in a certain house or anything like that, they shot one movie and then all of a sudden the house became the other person's house. And it was just, they just churned it out and churned it out, and they just kept the teenage vibe, like, Daughter of Frankenstein, I'm sorry, Daughter of Dracula, teenage zombies, all these different types of movies, Sex Kittens Go to College with Mamie Van Doren, one of my heartthrobs. I just thought Mamie Van Doren was incredible. And she was like the queen of the 50s B movies, the drive-ins and all, and but she just smoldered on the screen. And I have Mamie in a couple of these movies, and also in Volume 2, I have her in a few of them also.
And of course, we can't talk about 1950s. Do we want to call them B movies or maybe D or E movies?
BC.
Ed Wood. Now you
Oh,
have
yes.
on the cover, you got Plan 9 from Outer Space, and this is like the holy grail of bad movies. I mean, if you want,
It on the cover.
yeah, so you gotta have it. I mean, and that's, and it makes it so much fun seeing this stuff. And but yeah, I was gonna ask you, I mean, was it hard choosing? Like, you had over 600 movies to choose from.
Yes.
Which to leave in and which to leave out.
I narrowed it down. I narrowed it down to the 125 by movies that I was a little selfish with this, movies that I personally really relished. And that I threw in a lot of the slasher movies that I didn't really know about. But if I didn't put in the slasher movie, the early slasher movies, that could have come back to haunt me. I think, because you had to have those type of movies, and that's why it's, you know, Beasts, Bedlam Babes, and so I had to put some of the slashers in. And a good friend of mine, Jeff, he helped me out with that. Jeff is like this horror guru, and he really helped me. He helped me set up a lot of the slasher movies of that time. So Jeff, you were invaluable to me on that. So I was able to set that up like that. But all the other movies, especially the 70s teen sex romps and all, like the Pom Pom Girls. Oh, the Pom Pom Girls is my probably I love them all, but the Pom Pom Girls is one of my favorites. So, but the Plan 9 from Outer Space was anyways, I'm sorry, I got a little bit off track on
No
there.
problem.
I narrowed it down that way, just pretty much due to selfishness, you know, on what I wanted to, on what I wanted this time. And I always had the dream of doing a second volume. So thanks to Bear Manor, I'm going to do a second volume. But this one's going to be supersized. It's going to be more beasts, more bedlam, and yes, more babes. And I was to 84 because there were a couple movies on there that I really wanted to get on there. So I crammed it in there.
Well, I'm looking at the cover here, and this is why I'm mentioning these movies is because they're right in front of me here. But the Wasp Woman, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't this like a search for makeup?
Yes.
And I
Search for
know,
the eternal beauty.
yes, and I knew it had to be written by a guy because only a guy would make a horror movie out of a woman searching for makeup. You know.
Even when she turns into a wasp, I even wrote in there, it's like, okay, guys, you know, if you just don't pay any attention to the head, she's not a bad looking lady. If you get past the wasp head, you know, and you know, I just say little things like that, you know, in there. And what, just one quick thing, Jim, about Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Yes.
When they had the spaceship, they had a 1958, it was a 1958 Mercury hubcap. And that's what the spaceship was, and it was attached to a string. So that would just kind of flutter through. And Bela Lugosi passed away when they were making the movie, and he was a shorter man. So instead of, you know, getting somebody like him, they found this tall guy and just covered his face with a, you know, with a cape and just walked like that. And
I think he was a wife's chiropractor, if I'm not mistaken, something like
that I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised.
that.
And you
Yeah,
had Myra in there, you know, the movie hostess of the
Vampira. Oh my gosh, Mela Nurmi.
Yes.
I mean, she was. I mean, and amazingly, these movies have gained a, I don't want to say second life, maybe a third or fourth life now. Well, first life was in the drive-ins. Then the second life was in, I would say, the VCRs, and then the third life was with the movie hosts, you know, midnight movie people. And now, almost the fourth life now is that you get the streaming. They're finding all these new audiences nowadays.
Oh yeah, well, you know, I think the movie hosts too, you had to cut a lot of these movies did have some nudity in them. I remember the first time that I saw the Pom Pom Girls, it did not make any sense to me because it was on global TV and they had to cut it. Well, then I was finally able to see the movie and say, okay, this all makes sense now, you know, and it was very enjoyable too. But they, like I said, so the movie hosts, I think you weren't able to really explore the movie as in its entirety like you can now. And when I first started this project, I was kind of tossing back and forth on what to do with a Hollywood, because I always wanted to do a Hollywood project, because I've done the Prohibition era gangsters, I've done, you know, the sports, and Hollywood was my other passion. So I was trying to find something, trying to find a niche that I could get into. And then before you know it, I came up with this idea. And another good friend of mine, John, I was talking to him the one time about this local drive-in over here, and all of a sudden I started thinking, he didn't know it, but he was the kind of like the genesis of this book. And even when I told him, he goes, well, what did I do? And I said, well, John, we were just talking about the drive-in, and that made it pop, you know. So again, I'm so grateful to so many people that were just so wonderful with me with this. But it's just a great project to do. And the one I started to see was like such a following with these, you know, I started to see things on Facebook, these different groups, and just passion about it, and you know, hundreds of thousands of people that are interested in these movies, and they just kept growing and growing and growing, and I started to get so much encouragement from so many people, and then a lot of the people that I know were starting to come out of the woodwork saying that they were fans of this, but they were afraid to sell anybody this, you know. Like, okay, you know, I love these things, you know. And they're just incredible, just absolutely incredible masterpieces.
He told me a story.
I use that term lightly.
They're masterpieces in their genre. Okay.
Exactly. The beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Let's say
Exactly.
that.
Yes. Now, you told me a story before we start. I hope you can repeat it about the astounding she monster.
I love this story. It's the lady that played her was Shirley Kilpatrick, and she was a nudie model, and she did, scantily clad things beside that, and all for the not for Playboy, but for the gentleman magazines at that time in the 50s. And when they got her to play the part, she didn't speak at all in the movie, and she had an incredible shape. So they sewed this silver outfit on her, and I mean, it was so skin tight where it looked like she was had nothing on except this silver skin. Well, she started to walk in the thing, and she ripped the rear end out of her outfit, and she was like, "Geez, I just tore my behind on this." And she goes, "I need this repair." They said, "That's not in the budget. We can't help you on this." She goes, "Well, can you at least sew it?" And they're like, "No, we don't have any time for that." She goes, "What do I do?" They go, "Got a great idea. Just walk backwards. Just be in constant retreat the whole movie." So, folks, if you watch this movie, if you watch it just to see that, that's what she does. She walks it. You never see her advancing forward. She's always walking backwards. It's just great.
Another thing, and you mentioned it in passing that, that it was the Playboy School of Acting, that
Yes.
you weren't making that up. A lot of these movies, especially in the 50s and early 60s, had Playboy playmates.
Yes.
And I think it was part of the deal that if they were chosen as a playmate, they got a movie part. I mean, I also saw it happening on like the TV shows of the era, like Batman and Wild Wild West.
Yes.
So,
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
no, go ahead. Yeah, I mean, like some of the 50s, I mean, they were actually Playmate of the Month for that, or Playmate of the Year for that year of the movie.
Yes, they had back in the 50s, the girl that was on the gymnastic bar when the werewolf comes through there and she sees him upside down and all. She was a Playboy playmate. The one lady in the Attack of the 50-Foot Woman. Is the mistress of the man. She was in Playboy. And my all-time favorite, I call her the Queen of the Drive-ins from she was Playmate of the Year in 1970, Claudia Jennings. Remember Claudia Jennings, the Gator Bait and Unholy
Yes.
Ruler, and so many incredible movies that she made. And she just had the look in her face, Truck Stop Women. I mean, I could go on and on. And Claudia was to me, she was the undisputed queen of the drive-in. And Candace Ralston. It was a close second in throughout at least throughout the 70s.
It looked to me when I was reading the movie, reading the movie, that's great. Reading the book, that there was like three, there were three eras, and that I took away from it. One was, of course, the 50s and early 60s when they had the science fiction, the classic science fiction movies, and then in the middle era there was the beach movies, which I had not realized were drive-in movies. And then, of course, when the code was relaxed, then you had the slasher and the cheerleaders movies,
The nurses, student nurses, student
student
teachers,
nurses, yeah.
stewardesses. Oh, it just goes on and on.
Yeah, it went from like a cheap science fiction to beach to basically sex, so.
And then Slasher tried to incorporate a few things in there. They had to have the nudity scenes. Like Roger Corman said, when he was looking at this, he was like, for each page of dialogue, you had to have a topless woman. That was just the way that it was, and if the woman didn't want to do it, he was like, just go down on Sunset Boulevard and get, a streetwalker. He goes, they'll do it, so don't, so if you don't want to do it, you're not going to be in the movie, So, I mean, and of course people did it. And you saw a lot of people come and go in these movies. Just, they made one appearance and that was it. They disappeared, but left a lasting impression.
And also the woman who was she was in Ed Wood movie, and I think she was his girlfriend or something like that. She was in Glenn or Glenda. I remember that movie she was in. Is it Lorraine? Lorraine? I'm sorry, I'm blanking on her name right now. But she was in another movie that you listed, And for the sake of me, let me look it up real quick here on my computer. What do we ever do without computers? Let's see.
I know.
Hey, Glenn or Glenda, here we go. Let's see here. This was a Glenn or Glenda was an Ed Wood sexploitation movie. And I'm looking here now, see who was in it, the cast. It was Dolores Fuller is who I'm thinking of. Was
That
she in drive-in movies or something like that?
does the name doesn't ring a bell to me.
Okay, I'm sorry. I may be getting my bad movies confused. But
that doesn't strike a bell to me.
there was, but also, I mean, like when the 70s came, you had the cheerleaders, then you had more cheerleader movies. It became a franchise. And of course, student nurses and or candy stripe nurses, whatever they call them, and
Nurses, yeah, but again, Candace Rawson, and yeah, they had all that, and the student teachers, they had a couple teacher movies, and then
Concrete Jungle, that was one of them.
yes, the Concrete Jungle, yeah, with Tracy Bergman,
Yes.
yes, from Young and the Restless, the TV
See,
show.
that's the amazing thing is that a lot of these stars now or had become big stars got their start in these movies,
No,
didn't they?
well, that Concrete Jungle is in my book, and when I was watching it, I said, "That girl looks familiar." And I'm watching it, and my wife watches Young and the Restless, and yes, I got sucked in, folks, to watch Young and the Restless. Now I'm hooked on this show. But I looked at her there. I admitted it, but I looked at her, and I said, "This girl looks familiar." And I said, "Wait a minute, that's I saw the credits, and I said, that's Lauren Fenmore from Young and the Restless." And of course, she looks really nice now. All these years later, she looks actually better than she did in the '80s. And the magic of living in Los Angeles with all the people that take care of people like that. But yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, that's her. And you started to see some of the other people from soap operas that wound up in these movies getting their start. And most people got their start in these movies.
And the beach movies, they had people. I mean, they had like Annette Funicello
Yes.
and Frankie Avalon. Then they also had like there was like the last gasp of the 1930s and 40s matinee idols like Basil Rathbone, was another one, Great Stone Face,
John Carradine, John Carradine.
done.
Oh, vampire hookers.
Yes.
The vampire hooker. You got a quick sec on this one? I don't want to cut you
You
off.
bet. Go ahead.
In vampire hookers, they were looking to get. This was made in 1978, and John Carradine was about 70, 71, and he enjoyed adult beverages quite a bit at that time. So they wanted just his name on the marquee. So they brought him in. And he didn't follow the script at all. He was basically the vampire pimp to these vampire hookers. And he just started to go off script, and he was so inebriated that he just started to, just quote Shakespeare. And everybody's looking like, what the heck is this? They just let him go. It's John Carradine. So if you watch Vampire Hookers, all he does is talk about Shakespeare in this movie. Well, he throws in a little bit of dialogue, but most of it is just all John Carradine, just impromptu, just running amok.
Just ripping on Shakespeare,
Oh yeah, yes.
you
The one girl who says the one vampire girl in there, she goes, she's a vampire hooker, and they have to obviously get back to their crypts. And she goes, "Oh, the sun's coming up. I wish I could see the sun. I haven't seen the sun in 136 years." And then you look at the actress, and she has tan lines. So, yeah, you just love this stuff.
what were of all the movies that you got listed in here? What is the one favorite that you have?
Oh wow. Oh, Jim, you're killing me on that.
I
As
know.
I said earlier, the Pom Pom Girls. Can we make it like 125 place? The Pom Pom Girls to me is just, it was one of the first ones that I've seen, and I just get such a kick out of it. I'd have to say the Pom Pom Girls.
Pom Pom Girls,
Actually, with
okay.
John Carradine's son, Robert Carradine, was in that movie.
That's right. He was in that movie, and I think Charlie, not in this particular movie, but some of the offspring, other offspring like Charlie Chaplin, son was in one of the movies. Charlie Chaplin Jr. I remember his name
Oh,
being in the book.
yes, and I can't recall which one it is, but yeah, you were you. He was in that time when they were, like you said, throwing in all these matinee idols from, you know,
Yes.
the later 30s and 40s. Oh, I can't remember, like Dana Andrews and Jeannie Crane were in these, or it was in
Vincent Price was in a lot of these
Vincent
movies.
Price was in a lot of them, Boris Karloff.
Yes.
And I don't mean to stray away from Charlie Chaplin Jr., but I cannot recall the name of the movie that he was in. But I do remember, I believe I mentioned it in there, that he, you
Yes.
know, in the cast, that he was in there.
And but yeah, like Vincent Price was in you saw a lot of Shakespeare, not Shakespeare, but Edgar Allan Poe movies,
Yes.
you know, at the drive-in. I guess that was Burt I. Gordon's doing, I believe.
Yes.
No, was that Roger Corman?
But Roger Corman did. Yeah, you're right. Roger Corman did those.
Okay. Yeah, and he had Vincent Price in there. He had Boris Karloff. He had Peter Lorre.
Yes.
And these are all actors at the end of their, well, not Vincent Price, of course, but Lorre and Karloff, they were at the end of their careers.
Lives too. Yeah. And yeah, they had the one movie, The Blazing Stewardesses, where they had Yvonne DiCarlo in there. And they also had the Ritz Brothers, which were like kind of a.
And they were supposed to have the Three Stooges in there too.
Yes, but the Three Stooges, I don't believe that I believe Moe passed away and then Larry passed away. So at the time when they were making that movie.
Yes,
So,
Larry was first to go, and then Mo,
oh, yes.
and but yeah, they were supposed to be in there. I think it was another person that they brought in. They brought in somebody to replace Larry, and it didn't work out. You know, Mo got sick before his final illness. But Blazing Stewardesses, yeah, I mean that's
That's not in
again.
this one. It's going to be in the next version, but if you watch the beginning of it, they make it like it's a Western serial. You know, they show like the stars and they have that music and they're showing the, you know, Yvonne DiCarlo and the Ritz Brothers and they're showing all these people. And they had it looked like it was set up like a 1930s Western.
I think was it High School Confidential? Charlie Chaplin Jr. was in.
Could be, yes.
That's what you know. But the I tell you what, Rich, I've been having. I don't want to keep you longer than necessary,
Jim, keep me
but
as long as you want.
this is
I'm
a
having a ball here. I'm having
lot of fun. I mean,
as
it's
long as you
like
want to go, I'll go. No
I
problem. Yeah.
tell you what, the one of the things I did notice in the book, one, and then I'll let you go, is that you saw the producers, the same producers, the directors pop up every now and then. Even, you know, when we mentioned Roger Corman and we mentioned Burt I. Gordon, but I'm trying to, but there were other like
Herschel
companies.
Gordon Lewis. Herschel
Yes.
Gordon Lewis, you know, the King of Gore. He did, you know, Blood Feast. He did the Gore Gore Girls. Yeah, he was one of
I
those.
love that title, the
Oh
Gorgor
yeah.
Girls.
Ciro Santiago. He did you know, the Vampire Hookers and a few of those movies like that. But mostly a lot of them were Roger Corman, you know,
Yeah.
which is he's one of my favorite directors. And oh, and one more, yeah, I cannot go off the air without mentioning William Smith. You know, he was the king of the drive-ins, you know, where he was the badass biker and
Yeah.
did such a great job and, you know, chrome and hot leather. And the thing that I love about these movies is no matter how stoic somebody might be, you mentioned some of these movies like Chatterbox, Mama's Dirty Girls, people start to smile. There's just something about them. They just make the titles just make people smile like you're doing right now. You know, just makes you laugh. And
Well,
it's just,
the premise of Chatterbox is
yes.
what I
And it
mean,
ruined her career, ruined Katniss Realson's career on that
it did
after.
ruin her career.
Yeah, she really couldn't do anything. She did a bit part in Moonshine County Express and a movie with Clint Eastwood, but a very small part, and she just faded away after that.
Did we tell people what that movie is about? Yeah, let's go for
Sure. It's about a young
it.
lady named Penelope that all of a sudden one day realizes that her southern region, her female southern region, talk.
Can
And
talk, yes.
takes over the name Virginia, and it just kind of leads to some problems, especially when relationships, when Virginia is very outspoken about, you know, performance and all. And so, but Virginia becomes very famous and, you know, goes on the phone and talks to people. And it's just incredible movie. You could actually see the microphone hanging in some of the scenes. It's 73 minutes of bliss. It's great. It's a great movie. People that know me are probably rolling their eyes going, oh, geez, he's on the loose, you know.
Well, Richard J. Schmelter is the author, and the book by Bear Manor Media is called Beasts, Bedlam, and Babes. I mean, go to baremannermedia.com and you can order it. And
And
Rich, I don't
Amazon
know,
also.
and Amazon
Amazon.
also.
And if I, Jim, if I could real quick,
Yeah.
I mentioned a few names, but there were some names that were real important with this book. Friends of mine, Josh, Matt, Bruce, Janine, Forrest. I hope I'm getting everybody right. It's not like I'm accepting an award. These people, if I left anybody out, I'm so sorry, but I think I got them all. And those people, Nicole, she was just, these people were all just synonymous. And of course, my wife, who has to endure with all this. I love you, honey. She had to work through all this, but just some incredible people. And as I said, hopefully I got everybody that I wanted to say in here, because they're very encouraging, and they read a lot of this material for me, and they laughed with me, and they helped me, and I cannot thank these people enough.
Your wife had to pick up the copy of the amazing she
Astounding
the
She
Astounding
Monsters.
She Monster.
Pick it up for me, and I love you so much.
Well, Rich, I appreciate you doing Lights, Camera, Author tonight, and I hope we can come back for the second book.
Jim, you can have me back even for this book, if you
Okay.
want.
That'd be
Since
great.
I can talk about this stuff all the time, and I know you don't want to hear that, but and the audience probably doesn't either, but I love doing this stuff. It was an honor to be on your show. Thank you so much for having me on.